Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Here we go. Hour one, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Hope you're having a terrific afternoon. General at your service. There's Broadus, the former Cowboys scout, NFL executive, Super Bowl champ. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 and 52. Of course, Wolchuk and Chiafalo are in attendance, and Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys are bringing in Robert Saleh for an interview. Great defensive coach, high energy, great schemes, great relationships. Could do a lot worse than Robert Saleh, Brian.
Yeah, off to a pretty decent start when you start to talk about potential coaches for your Dallas Cowboys. I know the record isn't what it needs to be probably for a lot of fans, but he does check off a lot of boxes. I think if you were to pair him with, say, somebody like if Dak Prescott and Doug Nussmeier got along extremely well, do you try and go and get Doug Nussmeier from Philadelphia? I mean, maybe that keeps you from, you know, I think that he and Kellen Moore are kind of tied together, but if you wanted somebody that worked very well with Dak, that Dak respects, you know, that could kind of get him back to the level he needs to be, you know, Robert Saleh going out and maybe pairing that thing up with Doug Nussmeier might be a pretty good start for your coaching search.
That would make sense, and that would make Dak very happy. I do know, we know Saleh has a great relationship with Matt LaFleur. He was with him in Green Bay. Mike LaFleur, current offensive coordinator of the Rams under Sean McVay. That was kind of my first guess of like maybe guys, if he got the choice, maybe the Cowboys would be like, hey, the Doug Nussmeier route because Dak likes that. But Mike LaFleur coming from the McVay tree, I think that would get us pretty pumped.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the one thing that would get you excited. Nussmeier, though it would excite Dak, I don't think that's exciting anybody else in the entire world.
I think the quarterback to me, and they really don't give a rat's butt what we think about it.
Sure.
But you're trying to make your quarterback feel as comfortable. They game plan together. They worked on a lot of the things together.
If that's the goal, then I get why they would want to do that. But I think going to get somebody off the Shanahan, LaFleur, McVay tree, which Saleh comes from.
Sure.
And the best hire he's ever made was in Tennessee when he hired Matt LaFleur, and then he graduates to being the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. He followed up with Arthur Smith, which isn't terrible, but certainly a step down. But that would be one of the things you would want. Now, the problem with that and the whole idea of a Robert Saleh is, let's say you do hit the Matt LaFleur home run at offensive coordinator. Well, you're going to blink your eyes, and he's going to go be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. That's what's going to happen. And now you're the Titans, and you've now taken a step down.
What do you want to do then? I mean, seriously, if we all want to go out and hire that young coach, that young, innovative guy, we're going to lose all these guys. Detroit's about to go through that.
Right.
I mean, what are we doing? Are we worrying about losing Jogger Pants Boy coach? I mean, are we worried about that now?
I wouldn't say I would worry about it to keep me from Saleh.
Yeah, we could hire some old bad offensive coordinator and never lose him, and then we could sit there and bitch about it the whole time.
Maybe make the young offensive coach your head coach so you don't lose him.
Skip the step? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's, you know, if in actuality, you know, Jerry Jones, if he's forward thinking as much as everybody like Dan Quinn, You should have just blown Mike McCarthy out and elevated Dan Quinn. You know, when he probably had the opportunity to do that a couple of years ago. But I'm just saying this, to me, I'm all for hiring the young guy. I don't think we have to lose that guy. I think it's part of football. I think you have to develop your staff. But I'm with you on going and getting the young guy.
That's what you
but
want.
I don't want the coach that nobody wants.
No.
I don't want Jason Garrett, offensive coordinator, that nobody wants.
No, of course.
But I'm not going to sit there and like make my decision about, man, well, I'm going to lose this guy because he's a young guy. I think I'm going to lose all my guys. That's what I kind of feel like that could happen. But, I mean, I'm with you on the plan. I'm not scared of losing guys. I just need to find a way to develop guys better is what I need to do.
Yeah, that's just the downside of the idea of a Saleh or even with an Aaron Glenn when you have the defensive coach. But, yes, it wouldn't keep me from hiring Robert Saleh. I think that would be an upgrade from McCarthy. I think it sure fires
but
your
like
defense
your
being legit.
Yeah.
And I want to go get the best young Shanahan, McVay, LaFleur tree OC as possible. And then you just hope that you can ride that out for as long as possible.
817 says, I feel a Brian and Zach argument coming on. Get ready for that.
It just mis-ID'd my voice. That's all. People confuse me in Wolchuk all the time.
Somebody on Twitter did today, too.
Yeah. He's the thin one and the sexy one and the tall one and all that.
And Eric's balding.
By the way, those commercials are really good. Hey, I'm thinking about calling those
Advanced
folks.
Hair Restoration.
Yeah, I
want to get you in the mix, bro.
I appreciate
that. It's a game changer of all game changers.
I need you to get me involved with the LASIK people. That's what I need.
We'll get you LASIK. We'll get that rug back on that dome.
But I don't think you're wrong. I wish somebody in this organization would develop coaches. I wish someday we would catch a heater. Back in the 90s, they developed some coaches.
Look at the
coaches on the Jimmy Johnson staff that he had forever as college guys coming to the pros, and then they go on. Not all of them became great head coaches, but at least you were developing some coaches.
So check it out. I think Saleh is a good candidate. You know, I think it didn't go right with the Jets because, you know, you had a coach killer. You had bad offense. You had injuries on your offensive line. You couldn't get many skill players going beyond that Garrett dude, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think wherever Saleh goes, you know, he's a good hire and all
that.
Hopefully
he learned his lesson.
But right now, it feels like the Cowboys know who they want to hire. And, you know, in back-to-back days, they're satisfying the Rooney rule so they can get this done, like, before conference championship weekend or something.
Yeah, you probably nailed it. I mean, it definitely is. It's part of the Rooney rule. Maybe it's also you're interviewing him, and then if you go a different route, could he still end up being a defensive coordinator?
That's what I was thinking,
possibility.
Too.
So yeah. It's checking
that's the perfect world.
Checking a bunch of different boxes for you. But yes, I would. I mean, Robert Saleh seems like he's kind of an alpha. I think that he's a guy that was forced a lot of his staff in New York because of Rodgers. Clearly, Nathaniel Hackett, like that wasn't a Saleh thing. That was because of Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he would have hired him. So it's probably unfair to criticize some of the hires he made with the Jets. And I'd be very interested if he brought in a Mike LaFleur, whoever it ends up being as an OC. That would get me excited because it's totally polar opposite to what you've had here. Like Robert Saleh is the complete opposite to what you dealt with Mike McCarthy. Offensive guy, defensive guy, but also somebody who doesn't seem like he's going to put up with a lot of crap, and he's definitely going to instill some discipline.
All righty. At 877-881-1053. How about this one? Jason Witten was apparently the heir apparent for Mike McCarthy. How was this going to work?
Man, I didn't know. Jane threw that one out there, and Jane, you talk about somebody who's working the phones. Jane Slater doing a great job, but yeah, I had not heard that. I knew that Jason Witten was going to get an interview. I didn't know that it was going to be to the extent of, well, was he going to be on the staff as a guy, you know, kind of being the heir apparent coach.
Definitely not the heir apparent.
The heir apparent, yeah.
Well, if he goes to my guys at Advanced Hair Restoration, he can get that
FUE.
But I felt like that he was in the mix, but I didn't know it was to that extent.
So what would that look like?
That is very, very new.
So if Mike had been extended, Witten would have been on the coaching staff?
The possibility of him being on the staff was, that's how Jerry and Steven and were going to try and get him on the staff. So maybe down the road they can get him experience in the NFL and then eventually be your head coach.
Which makes me feel like the next head coach is going to be, you know, that's going to be part of the package. Like, hey, would you take Jason Witten on the staff as well? Or is that off now?
I think if they thought about it for one coach, you don't think they're going to try and push it for some others?
Yeah.
I mean, I I'm just saying, I think I didn't know it was to the point of maybe that being the future head coach. I thought it was, hey, let's get him on the staff.
Well, that's, and maybe it wasn't out loud, this is the plan, but you know,
see, we never,
Jerry's
I never thought,
plan.
I never thought that Witten would agree to just coming on and being on the staff. I thought he was either
head coach or bust.
That's kind of where I was going with that.
It would be really weird, though, to take the job, have it be a 1 or 2 year deal, and they want to put Jason Witten on the staff with the idea that he's going to become head coach as soon as they're done.
Didn't they do it with Garrett?
It makes a ton of sense why McCarthy was like, thanks, but no thanks to this whole situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty disrespectful. If I'm Mike, that's how I felt, and that's how it seems like he did feel.
His last year was disrespectful. From a standpoint of, like, you know, a guy that had the number of wins and they never ever talked about an extension or anything like that.
Right.
And it even got down to the end and they didn't. The 12 win, you know, they even though they talked about winning 12 games three straight years, it just this ended, you know, that never was a factor. I mean, they never could, you know, like, they still disrespected the guy. Even though they talked about respecting the fact that he'd won 12 straight games.
They didn't respect it.
Yeah, they didn't respect
it. They got mad at us for disrespecting it.
Yeah.
And they didn't seem to respect it. There's a lot of hypocrisy going on.
No, they were really, really adamant. Oh, no, three straight years of 12 wins? You know, man, respect that, respect that. No, at the end, you didn't respect it. You know, and you're asking us to respect it? No, you didn't do it. So why should we?
Good point, Brian. Yeah, they're full of it a lot of times. The 225 says, please just stop with the Cowboys coach. Nobody's going to make them better. At least Dion would be entertaining. I agree. You know, for the most
it's a fair
part,
assessment.
I think there's levels to it. Okay, speaking of Mike, the Bears are conducting their in-person interview with McCarthy this afternoon, their second known candidate to interview in person after Ron Rivera did on Sunday. So if you're Mike and, you know, a real opportunity to go coach the Bears with maybe, you know, a better situation, more security is out there, you know, you're closer to your home in Wisconsin and all that, maybe, you know, that makes sense. Micah Parsons expressing his disappointment with Mike's departure from the franchise, calling the development devastating. Obviously very sad because of the relationships we had with Mike and everything he's done for our program. He said on his Edge podcast, 3 straight 12-5 seasons, playoff appearances, and obviously an unfortunate year of injuries. It's devastating. Coach Mike is a great father, a great coach, one of the most winningest coaches. He's always been good to us as a unit, coaches, players. Losing a great coach like Mike hurts. You know, I think this goes to something we were just talking about with Dak. Like, do you, you know, like, Mike always had the love of the players, but is that the best for getting the most out of the players?
No, it's not a tough team.
Yeah.
It's not a tough team. And that's the thing is I respect Mike for – that you have to give him credit for those short week wins. You know, there's something about it. He had a plan for that. But this team was not any tougher. You know, when you don't handle players in a way of challenging them, and Bill Parcells said this all the time, you have to practice for the rigors of the NFL that way. So you have to practice in a way that allows you to be able to get through the season. Mike McCarthy doesn't do that. There's really no toughness to this team. It's something we've talked about at nauseam. You know, when this team has to play a big game or a game against somebody that might be a little bit more physical than them, they never answer the bell on that.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, Mike McCarthy, give him credit for, you know, he got this team's health to almost a perfect condition last year to the second seed. What'd it get you? A big let's go home, you know? Why did you lose again? You weren't tough enough. You just weren't tough enough.
There was a very telling, and I didn't see this until Bobby might end up playing it tomorrow, but Ezekiel Elliott, when he started in New England, his first go there for the year, he had his interview with the media, and they were asking him, what do you think of Bill Belichick? He's like, I love him. You know, he's going to coach you tough. And that's what he likes. You know, he played for Urban Meyer, played for Jason Garrett. And then now, of course, with Bill. And then he stopped, caught himself, and said, not saying Mike McCarthy isn't a tough coach.
He's
Mike
not.
Just has a different way of doing things.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the coaches want to be liked by the players a little bit too much, you know. And certainly that strategy can work, you know. But it also just strikes me as like maybe, you know, being afraid of taking that step of challenging some of these guys. Like Wade Phillips would say, I don't have to challenge you. You know, you're a grown man. You know, a lot of coaches would be like, well, if I got to motivate you to come here and try your hardest, then how are you a professional? You know, you should hold yourself to this standard. I think that's a cop out that you don't get, you don't really figure out the motivational tactics that it would take to, you know, inspire a full grown man with family issues. You know, he's coming to work, he's bringing a lot to the table, but you got to get him locked in and motivated. And it's the accountability, you know, part that Mark Schlereth talked about, you know, yesterday, that is so important for helping a team go to the next level, right? You can be pretty good, but in order to be the best in the NFL, you got to have this emotional edge and energetic edge and momentum, you know, that comes from the culture of preparation. Right. And, you know, taking things, never taking things for granted, always being on top of it. Right. And a lot of coaches are really unqualified when it comes to creating that kind of environment. So the next best thing is we're all going to be friends and healthy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's you wonder how much of that is even allowed for with the culture that Jerry has set forth. When Zeke's showing up late and doing all the stuff that he's doing, am I allowed to as the coach? Do I have the autonomy that Bill Belichick, you're late, you're fined, and you go home. Yeah. That's it. Well, I don't have to go ask Robert Kraft anything. And I don't know what the situation was specifically, but it's fair to think that maybe McCarthy wanted to hand down some discipline, and we're letting things get to become now it's habitually Zeke is late and I'm still having to play him. And how much of that is Jerry just that's how he wants it?
Yep. Okay. Evgeny Malkin's home, the latest star across the world of sports to be burglarized. Okay. So, Evgeny Malkin, the Pittsburgh Penguins star.
Forward.
Make me a milkshake, Malkin, I believe is the goal call for him. Steelers signed quarterback Skylar Thompson. You know, that's just a little bit. Of course, the Stars get the win. The Mavs did not get a win. We'll talk more about those two games and why this guy didn't get more minutes. Then we'll hit the G-bag of the day for you. It's all coming up next right here over the next 5 hours on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Okay, I think the topic here is how bad a shape are the Mavs in without Derek Lively? As he went out early in last night's game, Jamal Murray ends up going crazy, gets whatever he wants. And Daniel Gafford only had 4 rebounds on the night. I don't know where Daniel Gafford's game is right now, but he only played 19 minutes of action, so I don't believe the Mavs have a lot of confidence in his abilities or his injury status. Maybe he's still, you know, recovering from that sprained ankle from last week.
Yeah.
But anyway, they lose to Denver again last night. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Brian, what do you got?
No, I mean, I've reached out to a couple people over there just to maybe see. Hopefully we'll have something on that. But if you look all the way back to the game against Houston, you know, on January 1st, his minutes have been going down. You know, he played 11 minutes that night, 16 minutes the next game against Cleveland, 7 minutes against Memphis, and then he missed the Lakers game. He was inactive. Then came back for Portland, 10 minutes, Denver, 14 minutes, and then 19 minutes last night. So I don't know if there's something going on there that they're seeing. So I've reached out to some folks there and see if we can maybe get an answer on that.
Well, you know, the Nuggets out-rebound you by over 20, you know, and Derek Lively went out very early in that game. I think he played just 4 minutes. So that's one big storyline right now is how bad is this ankle? You know, you get dominated on the glass after he goes out. And I think it might be getting close, guys, where he's not only the third most important player on the team, you know, him or PJ Washington, but it almost feels as big as when Kyrie is out, because right now Gafford's not playing the way that he did last year in the postseason, where he would come on at times and outplay Lively. He was an absolute animal, catching alley-oops, getting rebounds, getting loose balls, being active. But now Lively's game in the second year is so much bigger. His defensive presence, his ability on the glass, you know, is, you know, makes him the kind of player where projecting forward now between here and the All-Star break, if you know, cause we're talking about an ankle here where they had an X-ray.
Yeah,
you know,
and
if it's that bad, it's got to be a pretty bad sprained ankle. I'm thinking maybe 2-4 weeks without, if him and Luka are out, guys, we're plunged back into a place missing two of your key players. And, you know, I think we got to, you know, really talk about what their path to victory is, because without Luka and Kyrie, okay, we have other guys that can score. Without Lively, your ability to win with defense and rebounding is just about totally eliminated.
100%. And a big reason why we've seen this team take that next step was because they finally got the bigs figured out, right? I mean, they really ascended as a team when they made the trade for Gafford. I guess he rolled the ankle in the Grizzlies game and then came back and played. So my only thought would be like the injury with the ankle. I don't know if they're trying to protect him at all there.
Yeah, I had somebody did reach back to me about this, and I was, because I was asking the questions that you just did, Dawson, with Lively being out, Gafford didn't play more than only 19 minutes, and the response I got from my sources over there was, we didn't play him in the fourth because we play tonight, we tried to play Kleba at the five for a few minutes in the third to see if we can make some threes.
Yeah,
he probably would have played five or six more in the fourth if the game had been closer.
Okay, yeah.
And then the whole thing is, you know, for them, yesterday was such a dud of a game.
Mm-hmm.
When Lively getting hurt, that really threw off any plans that they had with their lineup and how they were going to do some rotations and stuff like that. So that Lively injury early kicked it threw away some of their plans that they had in the game. So,
right.
But a little bit it had to do with because of the back to back tonight with Gafford and them needing him to play.
Hopefully Gafford steps up, and if Kleba's in the game, he's got to be making threes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
I mean, DeAndre Jordan was frustrating last night, though. I mean, Gafford in the pick and roll last night was bad, and maybe part of it is because of the mobility and the ankle, if he's still dealing with that. But DeAndre Jordan is dunking from the rafters. He was it was a turn back the clock game for DeAndre Jordan at times, and
Like he might permanently have a rolled ankle at
times. Yeah, and the rebounding, like even Gafford after the game, like he says, pretty much just physicality, lack of effort on my end. I got to be better. I got to be able to bring more energy. That's my job. Like it was not fun to watch him last night.
At times I was a basketball player that had to be high energy, right? And if you are a high energy guy and you're not, you're worthless, you know?
So that's it, yeah.
4 rebounds for him last night, some bad defense. He's got to step up. Kyrie Irving, quote, with the back, it's on and off, got to be smart. I'm grateful I got the chance to go out and play tonight. But the quote is, I feel like I just hopped off the couch and decided to play an NBA game. That's about what it looked like. He was 4 of 18.
Yeah.
You know, and in a night you failed to go over 100 with him taking that many shots, it really hurt you. But he said at first with his back, he couldn't put on his sock standing up. He says, I was getting a lot of uncomfortable feelings down my hamstrings and down my leg. I know a lot of people can empathize with that. Yeah, that's rough. Says dealing with a lot of uncomfortable stuff, but he says it's not bad to the point where I need surgery. So he is grateful for that.
Just decompressing that thing, stem, ice. I mean, that's a tough place to be. I'll tell you, it's low when you're an adult grown man and you can't put on your own socks.
Yeah. I've been there too, man.
Walchuk in college was literally putting my socks on before class at times. Like, you know, I can't bend over. Like, I literally have to lay down, and you have to put my socks on for me, friend. Yeah. Are you down to do that?
Which is weird because you don't have your pants on at the time either.
Right.
So it's kind of uncomfortable.
Well, that was the only way I could get him to do it.
I wouldn't do it just on the grounds that you have mismatching socks.
Oh, that would have ticked you off. That threw Walchuk for a loop as well. He got used to it.
To the point where I'm like, these socks don't match. I'm not making the effort to put them on him.
the OCD in you
exactly
outshines the good friend in you.
Yeah. At some point, yeah, you're just grabbing whatever's available.
It's kind of like how he does.
This one's
like
washed, okay.
Yeah, just whatever's clean over there, just kind of put them on. They'll be fine.
For the most part, I'm wearing clean socks, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
How about the Stars getting
how about
the win,
baby?
How long of a losing streak had they had to Toronto?
Seven games.
Like
games.
3.5 years worth?
Damn.
Yeah, they couldn't beat Toronto. And I think the big thing is not only did you get off the schneid against the Leafs, but Stanky got off the schneid too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
25 games in a row without a goal. That is crazy. Maybe this will be a spark. It was a little bit of a fluky one, but sometimes you need that. You need a little bit of puck luck.
Need a rain delay.
Going low. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Need a rain out.
Going Stanky's way. The thing to be concerned about is Roope Hintz also left the game for the Stars yesterday very early on. He did not return. He's questionable moving forward. Again, we don't know what the injury is. They'll never tell us, but it was a collision with Austin Matthews. Did not look like that felt good. Wyatt Johnston got bumped up to the top line. Him and Jamie Benn, whenever I'm on the same line together, I really, really liked. I think Wyatt adds a little bit of pep for Jamie. So it was good to see with unbalanced lines they hadn't necessarily been playing with that they still went out there and performed. But Duchesne continues to be a stud, and it was good Stanky last night.
Yeah, Duchesne, Stankoven, the lads getting the job done. Okay, we'll get the job done here for you all the way until 7 o'clock this evening. Got Mike Sando coming up. He's with The Athletic now, right? Mike Sando, mm-hmm, football, yeah, insider for The Athletic at 3:20. He'll talk to us about, you know, divisional weekend and everything going on with the Cowboys and more. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup. We're Lucius. How's your G-Bag of the Day?
Yeah, here we go. All right, man. I think this is day three for this right here. Day three for our winner. We go to the Cotton Bowl, the Pat McAfee broadcast of the Cotton Bowl. Tim Tebow jumped on the mic with those fellas, and he showed off his big QB brain to the whole world. He called for a QB sneak. He said, you know what? This game is lacking something. I can feel it. It needs a QB sneak, and it happened the next damn play.
You know one other thing that we haven't seen today? We haven't seen a keep by Will Howard on a zone read when they think it's going to a Trevion, a Quinshon. That could be a really perfect time to pull that out, too. Because he's a capable runner. Just ask the Big 12 of what he did to him.
Trevion Henderson's in the huddle. Matthew McConaughey's losing his mind. He's asking the football gods in Texas Nation to come alongside with your voices. We need this one. A triple stamp and a double stamp here. Will Howard's making checks, so is the Texas defense. Will Howard, quarterback keeper. Good call, Tim Tebow. Will Howard stumbles.
You gotta keep your feet, young man.
Oh, Will Howard got tackled by the 20-yard line. Great call by
great
you.
Call, great call.
But also,
it
great
is
tackle.
A great equalizer.
Great tackle.
Great tackle.
Great call by you, but also a great tackle.
So they do that.
Quarterback tripped over his feet, by the way, for those that are not aware. Tripped over his feet on the 20-yard line.
They do that the whole game? They do the commentary down there the whole game?
Yeah, it was fantastic, bro. It was really good. He calls it the sideline pass?
Yes.
Yeah, Pat McAfee's sideline pass.
Yeah. Dang it.
Yeah, it's legit, man. Yeah.
I hate when I miss stuff like that.
Well, you can do it for the championship game.
Yeah, the natty.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Okay.
Do you watch,
I'm back in.
Do you watch the Amazon games on the alternative broadcast? It kind of looks like Madden a little bit, how they set the game up for you.
Oh, with all the
kind of done one.
Yeah.
Should we?
I like it sometimes, yeah. Especially if I'm not like listening to the broadcast itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. All right. This may be a 60 seconds on soccer right here.
Let's go.
This may be a 60 seconds. Arsenal lost to Manchester United in an FA Cup on Sunday.
Yeah.
If anybody was paying attention to the footies. Anyway, they have a post game right there. They talk to a fan on the street.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, this is the English language. This is their language. They sound so eloquent when they use their language. You know what I mean? We sound funny. They sound good. Doesn't matter what they're talking about. They sound good.
Yeah.
They have dictation over their language.
They sound at least 10 IQ points higher than they actually are at all times.
At all times. It sounds kind of whimsical, you know?
Yeah.
Sounds magical. Like they're casting a spell on you. Yeah, it sounds like they're casting a spell. This lady right here, she broke her team off proper. Like, I think she's going for Arsenal, and she's not a fan of how that loss went down.
It was just a disgraceful performance. I don't want to hear people saying, oh yeah, let's respect the manager, let's back this. There's nothing positive to say today. That performance was disgraceful. I saw our captain today, who for games I've been saying, that's not a captain's performance. You step up, you take that penalty, you bury it. You're captain of your club.
Can't miss penalties.
No, you're captain of your club and country. We don't want to hear that. You get up there, you bury it. People saying, oh, the fans need to back you. How can I sing watching that? Just spent my hard-earned money.
You can miss penalties. It does happen.
No. But do you know what? I saw 5 United players today take every single one of their penalties. Professional. Buried it. Not here doing this, you know, trying to start. No, you bury it. Havertz today, abysmal. Abysmal. Awful. Dry. Terrible. If we do not go in that January window, Kvaratskhelia is out there. I'm seeing City trying to get Omar Mamouche. Guy scored 19 goals, about 12 assists. Go and get that guy. I'm watching Martinelli stink it up every week. I'm watching Trossard not even turn a flipping cross. You want to stick with that? I'm seeing Havertz. I would have scored that. Me and you would have scored that. With your shoulder, you can't even score. Your foot. You're a professional footballer.
Baller.
It's rubbish. It's awful. Sterling today, fair enough. The guy's not being given a chance. He came on. He did more than all three of them have done in the last 5 weeks.
Free.
Go and get some. You care about that. You want to win the league. You want to try and get somewhere in the Carabao Cup. You want to try and win the Champions League. You go and get a striker. Okay. Simple as that.
Get a striker.
I'll tell you what, man. She knows her stuff.
She knows her stuff, dog.
God, man. If she called in the post-game show, I'd be like, man, thank you so much for that call.
Just Gallon Arsenal podcast.
Wow.
She said all three of them.
Yeah.
Set us as free. All three of them.
You bury it.
You bury it.
It's about 85% of the time.
Yeah. Gosh, that was good.
Professional footballer.
Yeah, professional footballer. You bury it. Bruv. Yeah, bruv.
Come on, bruv.
Isn't it?
Brother.
Isn't it? All right, what else we got right here? Oh, yeah, the AI Jerry Jones. On why he moved on from Coach McCarthy. This is vicious, whoever put this together.
I fired Mike McCarthy because he looks like a pork chop. And I hate that big-ass play call sheet he holds during games. We all know it's a Perkins menu. I'm not even sure we need a coach. Hell, maybe we already have a coach in mind. Maybe he's sitting right in front of you.
Yeah.
Half drunk on Johnny Walker Blue with only an Egg McMuffin in his belly.
That's
and
my
a
guy.
Pocket full of dinger pills. Maybe he's 82 years old and needs his ass wiped from time to time, depending on how much Salisbury steak he's ate. Look, I'm going to do things my way. And my way is f***ing terrible. But if you don't like it, then tough t- he said the kitty, but the milk kept coming.
Huh?
Listen,
well said.
I'm never going to die, mother. I drink 8 ounces of hog's blood every day, and I'm a vampire feeding off mass disappointment.
Yeah.
So learn how to accept meaningless primetime games forever. What I'm looking for in our next head coach is someone that values analytics and also someone that lets me take he and his wife to a Hojo's and sit in the cuck chair.
Shout out to Hojo's for making the diss track.
Oh my God.
Howard Johnson used to be the spot, boy.
It used to be the spot now.
Howard Johnson.
It used to be.
Get it cracking
good
over
meals,
there.
Good meals.
You run into people. Hey, what you doing over here?
Yeah. I'm seeing from Google dinger pills.
Yeah.
MDMA tablet.
Really?
I wasn't familiar.
I thought he was just talking about.
I think you
blue cheese.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
But who knows? Man, little Jerry likes to party.
What's the funny gas station?
What are the gas?
Rhinos?
Yeah, the rhinos.
Yeah, I'll take a whole rhino and show out on you. I'll show up. Yeah, tell you.
Oh, that
you won't
so
see
good.
Me for a good 2 weeks. You're like,
that
boy.
You're going to get the horn.
That boy gave me whiplash. It's that rhino. Opened it up and took it too, right on the tongue and swallowed it. Popped up on your door. Eyes bloodshot red. Let's go. Let's go.
We got 4 hours.
I got the good stuff for you.
All right. Is it Tim Tebow with the quarterback keeper call from Will Howard? Arsenal
good.
Loses to United in the FA Cup and penalties. Get that Gala podcast.
Yes.
Or is it AI Jerry Jones? That's my vote, Chief. How about you?
Yeah. Same here.
Lucius?
Shoot. Yeah, I guess so.
We'll check.
Yeah, I got to go with AI Jerry.
Yeah.
Right.
Podcast lady.
By a score of 4-1. And your new G-Bag of the Day champion, it's AI Jerry Jones on why he fired Mike McCarthy. He looks like an effing pork chop is how that clip opens up. That's pretty classic.
Okay. That's an attention getter. That's what they talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever it takes, man. Get the job done. Court attention at all costs.
You guys got dinger pills? You guys got any prescriptions? Am I being too nosy?
No.
I haven't reached that point yet.
Man. Get it for a little boost, bro.
Yeah. See, okay.
Oh, really? Just get it for a boost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I need to dip into that. I really do.
I might have a couple on standby.
Yes, I'm talking.
You know what I'm saying?
I just really do.
In the special cabinet.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are we going next, Chief?
Got that college football hump day darty for you. And among other things, we'll grade the halftime speeches. Freeman versus Day next in the nation.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Coming up at 3 o'clock, your NFL news of the day. Right now, it's time to college football it up with the Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Quinn Ewers officially declaring for the draft. So I guess he was being super honest about the fact that he was going to push to the side potentially $4, $5, $6 million mercenary deals to go play with a college football contender and boost the draft stock.
Very fortunate that he had a guy like Arch Manning behind him. Arch Manning never made that really a rough situation for him, you know, allowing him to play, you know, and there was always going to be some questions and stuff, but you never heard Arch Manning publicly or anything say anything.
Patience, man.
He was always very supportive. And, you know, Quinn Ewers is pretty fortunate that type of guy behind him was able to allow him to play out this season at Texas and see what happens. You know, they came up a little short, but and he's blessed because usually you get to a situation, you know, there's always some kind of whispering going on, stuff like that. You never heard that from Arch.
No, not at all.
He did. He understood what he needed to do on the team. Good for him.
Okay, other college football housekeeping items here. Georgia running back, you have Trevor Etienne. He had apparently made it clear to coaches and stuff that he wanted to come back for one more year with Georgia and get his degree and fight for another title. But he has since changed course, and he has also declared for the draft. So Georgia loses their stud runner right there, which is going to be just another addition to what is a legendary, potentially, running back class here in the draft. And then you guys will remember this name, but Washington football is set to hire Taylor Mays as the school's new safeties coach.
Yeah.
USC safety.
USC. Yeah, he was just built like a brick S house. He's like 230 pounds, straight line fast.
Very straight line.
Blew up the combine from what I remember.
Heat seeking missile and then just stunk, I think, with Washington.
Yeah, just couldn't really get it going.
At that time, the R word team.
Yeah, second round pick, 3-time All-American at USC, now the safeties coach with Washington. Okay,
he's really big in that area of Washington. Like he supposedly recruited really, really well for USC up there. And so that was like another big get for them that they had a track record of working well.
Well, they're losing all their guys to Bill at North Carolina.
Yeah.
Steve Belichick, and I saw there was another defensive coach that they had that is going to the Tar Heels as well. So they're having to restock a little bit. All right, let's go into the respective locker rooms of Notre Dame and Ohio State. We'll start with the Thursday night matchup, Notre Dame, Penn State. Notre Dame trailing at the half. Let's grade the halftime speeches. I only have a little snippet of each one, about 15, 20 seconds. This is like kind of the tail end before you're getting the team to run out of the tunnel and take the field for half number two. Here's Marcus Freeman.
It's a 7-point game. We get the ball first. So just understand, that's all it is right now. Now, what do we have to do to change it? We got to be able to run the ball, right? We got to be able to run the ball, right? And we got to stop the run. That's all it is, man. We ain't about to panic. Ain't no need to be nervous. It's a fight. It's a 7-point ball game, and we get the ball first. It's a fight. Go out there and fight.
A lot of fight words dropped there. Run the ball, stop the run. No cursing needed.
No.
Get the guys amped. Let's go do this thing.
So, and actually, like when the sideline reporter came out for the second half, I talked to Marcus Freeman, and everything that's like kind of
run the ball, stop the run, enough. Yeah, fight.
Exactly.
And
exactly
fight,
what
and
I said.
Fight
exactly
some more,
what he said.
And fight and don't panic.
Yeah.
And fight.
Yeah. I like
and you're
it.
Only down seven and you're only down seven.
Yeah.
And the thing about being down seven is you're only down seven.
Just one score.
He hammered those points home, man.
Yeah. Holly Rowe was absolutely right, what she said. Hey, they're gonna come out and try and stop the run. They need to run the ball a little better. They're only down seven. Back to you, Kirk.
The thing that always impresses me, or the thing that stuck out to me, was there's no need to be nervous, you know? And I think for a lot of those players in that moment at halftime down, you could easily get yourself psyched out, like, wow, we're down at halftime, we've lost it, right? You're trying to inspire confidence and just to keep them in the present moment, because once you get nervous, you're going to start malfunctioning in a pretty big way.
Let me be nervous.
Coach Dawson, do you put a lot of stock in some of those halftime speeches to the girls before you take the pitch, I should say?
Yeah, I feel like when you, the rare time where you absolutely nail it, you can see the results on the field, and if you screw it up, you can see the results on the field.
We got to get you, it's tough to do it to yourself, but we need somebody in there rolling, because when we get one of those Dynamite Dawson halftime speeches to the 12-year-old soccer team and they go up and tear it up.
Just roll on yourself, but cherry pick the good one.
Yeah.
I'll give
you permission. Let's get that
take
in
me
here.
A while.
Have you ever just told the girls we're about to get mauled today?
Yeah.
How do you like, hey, listen, it's not gonna be good today. We're probably going to get beat. You know, I want you just to play hard. And we'll see what happens. You know, that kind of thing. Do you ever give that
spotted
speech?
One on the schedule just yesterday.
Oh, did no. you?
But it's a.
We're in the Dallas Cup, right?
Yes.
If we're in the Dallas Cup, are we gonna give a lot of mauled speeches, or are we gonna be okay?
We'll see by then. You know, we got 4 months to work.
Like DC United, another.
Here's the Dortmund Club.
I don't know.
I haven't seen a list, but it could be pretty nasty. Yeah, okay. It'll be a great opportunity to test ourselves.
Somebody from Brazil, a team from Brazil,
could happen. Yeah, maybe Real Madrid. Wow, dude,
it's gonna be tough sledding.
Yeah, all right.
That's exactly what the speech needs to be. This might be tough sledding today, ladies.
Yeah,
don't hang your heads out there.
Yeah,
those are some of the easiest games to coach too, because you don't worry about the score. Like, let's just execute.
Have pride. Yeah. You have two names. They have one.
Go the Micah Parsons route. Just take away the scoreboard, and then all of a sudden you start feeling good about moral victories.
Exactly.
All right, let's go into the Buckeye locker room at halftime, AT&T Stadium, before they beat the Longhorns. Mm. Here's Ryan Day.
It's their family against our family, and I know one thing. When you have family, you do everything you can to defend your family. Fight on three, one, go.
He went the family route on that one.
He went full Vin Diesel.
He tried to get, he did. He channeled his inner Dom Toretto and cranked out a hell of a second half for his guys.
See, and that's the advantage, I think, of coaching young men or boys, is you can get them with a speech like that, you know?
Yeah. Just it's us versus them. It's your family versus theirs.
Yeah.
Go put food on the table, boys.
Yeah. You're not going to let them punk you, are you? You know, that'll fire up a boy.
Absolutely.
You
dude.
Know, you do that to a girl, she might roll her eyes at you and cry to her mom afterwards.
Whatever.
Speaking of NFL speech, I one time heard a coach say they're trying to break into our house.
There
like
you go.
Gave that as
paint
a half.
That picture.
Yeah, you paint that. You got there, but there was a lot more to it.
That'll hit closer to home these days.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But this coach said, hey, second half, they are trying to break into our homes. You know,
you're going to let them in?
That's a little too real these days, though.
I know, but but there was more to it. I don't want to really get into it on the radio, but it was
sounds
pretty,
inspiring.
Pretty graphic. Pretty graphic.
Yeah, I've gone there. You know, react like they're trying to take your favorite toy when they're like 7 or 8. Your friend is trying to leave with your favorite toy.
Okay.
How would you react? Would you meander slowly over there, or would you be like, hell to the no? This ain't happening today, right?
You're going to haul ass over there and save that toy.
Yeah, you save your toy, aren't you?
No, I like that.
Now it's imagine somebody is trying to take your phone.
Ooh.
Oh, there you go. Boom.
Yeah.
All right.
Or that boba tea.
We all know.
Well, I'll just get my parents to buy me another one.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
I think there's more to that one. Keep going with that impression.
Nah, I'm not going to go there.
All right.
I'm off the air. I'll tell you what the halftime speech was.
I wouldn't mind.
Pretty graphic.
All right. Here's the Buckeyes defensive coordinator. This is Jim Knowles. And he was asked basically in his presser to like just take us through, describe those final four plays, that goal line stand that ends with Captain Jack Sawyer in the walk off.
First play, we got into big people. Boom. Stopped them. Wow. Dang. You know, second play, we were still in big people. And which leaves you vulnerable to some crack tosses and things. And our guys practiced it and they read it, and Caleb Downs pulled his trigger exceptionally and everybody rallied. Third play, we were in a red zone coverage that we haven't used before. So I think we had a good thing there. And Jack actually got pressure on that play, and we had all the routes covered. And then I decided to stay in the same call on the next play, and it worked.
So I love the idea of him pulling out a defensive play in the red zone that they had never shown before. That's obviously going to throw you for a loop.
New England in the Super Bowl against Seattle.
Perfect time.
Yeah.
It's about what it looked like.
It's about what it looked like. And then I love the confidence to be like, well, hell with it. Let's just double down. We'll go for it again. Yeah. And then you get the moment that is now going to live on forever in Buckeye history. Okay. Now, I also wanted to mention this.
So close.
A couple of wide receivers as it pertains to the draft. I saw a tweet from Daniel Jeremiah about Texas's wide receiver, Matthew Golden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he says he could easily be the best or the top wide receiver in this draft class.
True.
Disagree.
He's got, when you start to talk about the receivers.
Like more than Travis Hunter? Well, I guess you like Travis Hunter more as a corner, don't you?
Yeah, we got Travis Hunter playing corner. If Travis Hunter's a wide receiver, he's going to be the best receiver in this
draft. Yeah, I like Hunter more as a receiver than Golden. Wow. I like Tet McMillan more than Golden. Yeah. And then
Arizona guy, right?
I think Golden's in the conversation with Ebuka and Burden.
Yeah. Kid's got a lot of talent. I'll tell you what, the kid Williams from TCU.
Yeah, Savion.
I keep seeing clips of him being a monster.
He's a big boy.
Wasn't it weird that Golden's not playing through a sprained ankle? He's over there on the sideline like, yep, can't go. I mean, come on. This is for a trip to the championship. Your team is struggling for the majority of possessions, moving the ball. And then you go out there and you do play a couple of plays. Yeah. Make a couple of catches.
Man, I tell you what, and I understand what you're saying.
Downgraded.
But every time they needed a big play on third down, you could watch his tape all season long. When they needed a play.
But he's going to be hurt.
Ball went
this is, I got to be 100% to play guy.
And there's things. I don't think that's the case. Mm-hmm. I think that to me that you're in a situation when you watch this kid play, if you watch him game after game after game, he was like, everybody talked about Bond, the other receiver. He was clearly the best receiver on Texas' squad. And they had to have a play. Like, he didn't let them down. I mean, he found ways to get open. He found ways to separate. He found ways to contort his body, get his feet down, hurt, not hurt, whatever. But he makes a ton of plays.
He watched his team struggle to score, and he was a really good receiver. He was clearly fine. He watched his team struggle for a half. He plays that whole game. Maybe they win, Brian.
Yeah, I know. I'd love to have the kid here, and I'll talk about him every week after a game on the post game, and talk about a positive player that I think can really
he's
help.
He's very talented. He's a good receiver.
Win a game.
There might be some character stuff.
Yeah.
Wouldn't at least one scout in the building have my back on this though? Like, maybe. Hey, we need more toughness than that, don't we? We got to look into this. Let's talk to some of his coaches, see how much of an issue this might be. NFL News Today coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking us?
Yeah, what did Kellen Moore have to say about this Eagles opening? We've got Jason Garrett talking Dak Prescott. And do you want to tick off Jet fans? Well, go ahead and hire this coach. That's next.